They asked the question, which country is responsible? And there you have a picture at the top. What's the picture at the top? Who can you see on the picture? That's right, yeah. Who are the kings of where?
England
and Germany. Germany. In fact, the monarchs of the two countries were cousins. And who was their other cousin? The Tsar of Russia. Those are all cousins. All grandchildren of Queen Victoria. Very small world. Very small world. Yeah, you, even today, if you want to marry a prince, they won't have you. You're not close enough. I'm sorry. You'll have to find a job instead. What can you do? Okay, so that was the first thing I wanted to look at. And in fact, you will notice more and more articles in the British press about the First World War. I have never seen anything like it. There's a millions of pounds and hundreds of pages every week. But what I wanted to notice about this is at the top it says 10 interpretations of who started World War One, which is not quite the same as which country was to blame. So this is interpretations of who started. And this is which country was to blame. There are two things which are different. First of all, country. And secondly, if you started it, does that mean you were to blame? One can discuss this question. Things can be a little complicated. Turn over the page. And here is the BBC again. Another BBC. This is the BBC history section. And you can see here they're asking another question. What is this question, Sinue?
The cost of being a British general in World War.
Ah, that's the section. What was the general question?
Has a history misjudged the general in World War
I? Right, well, let's try that out again. We have some French people here. Do you have a general impression of the generals of World War I? In France or in Britain, do they have a good reputation, bad reputation? They don't have a very good reputation, do they? Can you name any of them? Haig, of course, the British guy. I can't name very many either, but of course, yes, and you see him around, don't you? You see statues, but not such a good reputation. Yes, that's not such a good reputation. And does anybody else know anything about the reputation of the generals? Certainly in Britain, they've had a very negative reputation with this slogan, lions led by donkeys, which has been I don't know where it originally came from, but it was the idea that, you know, the British soldiers were lions, but their leaders were donkeys. Not very polite, is it? Not very polite, the lions led by donkeys. The question which the BBC is putting forward is, has history misjudged the generals of World War I? Now, when identifying the question is half the job. If you've identified not here, it's written up, but in general, sometimes in the books, the question is not so obvious. Because the second question you have to ask yourself is, how important is this question? Yeah, because there are a million questions you could ask about World War One. So you are obliged to say, oh, let's find the most important ones. You can't just say, oh, it's a question, let's have another question. There are too many. Yeah, so every history book actually says, without saying it, my questions are more important than other people's questions. Which is perfectly, said Bungay, it's normal, yeah? This question is, there are many books about this, many, many books about this question. Do you have an opinion about the importance of the question? If there was a book, has history misjudged the generals of World War One? Would you be saying, oh, I must look at that? Or are you thinking, well, who cares? I mean, assuming that you find, the general question fairly interesting. So.
I think it's not the first book I would read because I think there are more important questions about World War One.
Yeah, so you would prefer what were women's lives like during the First World War, for example? No, I understand. Yes, yeah? So the question. This is the question of military history, and some people prefer social history, and some people prefer cultural history, etc. But this is a big one. Of course, this is very popular with the army. Yeah, some researchers on the First World War worked for the army. That doesn't mean they're dishonest, but it means that the army chooses the questions. The army doesn't oblige them to give certain answers because, you know, it's a democratic sort of situation. But the questions, yes. And if you want funding, if you're a researcher and you want money to write a book, and you can ask the European Union, or you can ask the government, or you can ask the army, and they won't insist that you give exactly the answers they want, but they will insist that you study the questions that they think are important. And this is certainly one of them. Has history misjudged the generals of World War I? And here you look at the sections. We've only got one here. Lions led by donkeys. The popular view of generals. An unprecedented war. We'll look at this in a moment. The cost of being a British general. Disaster and incompetence. Meet the generals. Has history misjudged Haig? Where next? So this is interesting. It seems to me that the BBC is not saying, oh yes, the generals were okay and they've been very unfair. And they're not saying the generals should be harshly criticised, as they have been harshly criticised. They're taking some sort of in-the-middle approach. And one of the things they're doing here is showing what happened to the generals. 1,252 generals, 146 wounded, 78 killed, 2 received the Victoria Cross. And there you have the list of how they were killed. 34 killed by shell or trench mortar, 22 killed by small arms fire, 3 drowned. They were drowned because sometimes you're a general in the Navy, and therefore if your ship is hit, you drown. It was not in the swimming pool. They were not drowned in the swimming pool by their dog, you know. So they're trying to show, some generals died and some were wounded. Now, these figures are much lower than for ordinary soldiers. In fact, in the First World War, you get something rather strange, that you could be an ordinary soldier, you could be an officer, that means you're in the war, but you are responsible for 50 soldiers or 100 soldiers, or 500 soldiers, or you could be a general. Which is the most dangerous in the First World War? Most dangerous position to be in? It's the officers. It's very strange. In some ways, the First World War was more democratic from the point of view of death than wars like the Vietnam War. In the Vietnam War, rich people did not go out there and get killed. It just didn't work like that in general. The First World War was very different. The officers were recruited directly from Eton and the privileged schools. Directly, they became directly an officer without any experience. However, they were expected to, when they attacked in front of their soldiers. That's the first thing. And the other thing is that the workers in Britain, many of them were not allowed to join the army because this is total war, and so they didn't allow miners to join the army because if you have no coal, you have no industry, and so it can't work. In fact, they had to stop the miners from joining the army at one point. And so, bizarrely enough, the middle class died more proportionally than the working class. And of course, more workers died because it's a bigger group. But proportionally, the middle class and the relatively rich, it's better to be a general, but the officers, they didn't do too well out of it. Much more democratic. Okay, so another question. And again, these are two of the, you will see for every article about what were women's lives like in the First World War, you will see 50 articles on this question and 25 articles on this question. These are the big ones that seem to fill the BBC. So that's just something I wanted to look at. And also, this is the BBC. It's now February. Yeah, there's a few months left until the beginning of the centenary, and already the BBC, as we saw, lots and lots of shows. I'm going to be on the radio in March. They interviewed me on the BBC on Tuesday. So they have so many programs that they even phoned me up. Yeah, so that's really good news. Okay, so some of the questions there. Okay, well, let's have a look at Refus de guerre then. Now, most of you have read this, I hope. because I have a couple of questions for you somewhere. So let me give you the questions first. That works from there. Let me stop that for a moment.